Welcome to Le Rendez-vous. My name is Garance Doré and I'm a writer with so many stories to tell and ideas to share that I created this special moment to talk about all the things that are going on in our lives. So come, let's spend a moment together. Le Rendez-vous is brought to you by Doré, the skincare line I co-created, wanting to bring more simplicity and efficacy to our lives. Check out the end of the episode for a special code just for you, the Rendez-vous listeners. Have you ever cheated? Have you ever been cheated on? I find that this is one of the most fascinating subjects that keeps coming back at every age of our lives, whether it's through our friends, things we see in the media, and that our way of looking at it depends on our culture, on our sense of privacy, on our sense of values, on our experiences, and it's very difficult to have just one set of rules about it. Today, I thought I'd explore the subject of cheating. You know that I'm French, and you might have a few ideas about what French people think about cheating. From what I've gathered, I remember being in America, people have an idea that the French are much more liberal in terms of what they do behind curtains. There is this sense that we're more adventurous. I don't exactly know because, of course, I was born in that culture. So to me, all of that seems quite normal. But having lived away from France for enough time, I think I could say that, yes, we have a certain idea of what is freedom in a couple and a sense of morals that is definitely very different from the American one, which is, you know, one that I know enough about because I lived there for a while. We do have in France this idea, and not everybody's doing that, obviously. The emotions around cheating are pretty much everywhere the same. But we do have this idea of what we call le jardin secret, which is a secret garden, which is this idea that there are parts of our lives that are just for us, just ours, and that can't be broken into. And then what you put in there is a little bit your choice. French women are pretty good at mystery, whether it's not sharing their beauty secrets, for example, or whether it is not sharing that they have taken a lover. There is still a sense of respect for that idea that we don't have to show everything. And that certainly informs, I think, our sense of moral around cheating. There is also, I think, from what I grew up in, a very strong culture around therapy. French people, I think, are less religious than in America. We never talk about God, whereas I think that in the US it's much more common. And I think that in some way we've replaced God with therapy, the therapeutic language that is becoming so trendy today, is something that I've heard in France for many, many years. And the interesting thing with therapy and cheating is that therapy doesn't look at things with a moral view. The first angle is more usually, how do we explain what happened? It's not cheating is bad, it's what cheating means in your couple. So there is a very different sense of what morals are in France. That's just how I feel. I think it also depends on your background, always. My background was very much psychotherapy centric, no God, morals were not as important as I've seen them being in other families. That's why it was so interesting to me to move to the United States and start looking at dating culture. Because we certainly don't have the same sense of morals, which is normal. Cultures are different, and they should be, and that's what's fascinating. But actually, we do have pretty clear idea about what's right and what's wrong. For example, dating is not really a thing in France. I think that now cultures are enmeshing and changing and kind of melting into one another with social media and globalization. But French people didn't used to date. You would meet someone, and if you kiss, spend the night together, then that's it, you're together. Whereas in America, there is this whole dance around dating, and there is this concept that took me so long to understand and that I've never actually practiced myself, which is that time when you're not exclusive with one person and where you're basically allowed to see multiple people at the same time. And you can absolutely have sex with them and nobody's supposed to be mad at you. So it's very interesting to see, depending on the country, where the sense of right and wrong is. It would have driven me absolutely crazy. I was never able to do it. But I can see how dating culture can have its place. Because the funny thing is that the idea of being married to someone in the United States is a much stronger sense of commitment than what it is in France. That's why I wanted to start this conversation about cheating with giving you a little bit of background of the cultures that I know. I've been in London for about a year, so I don't know much about it. But from my speaking with my friends, the culture is more similar to France. There is not really that culture of dating. People meet. If they like each other, they're together. And then the few first months of their relationship will be where they decide, okay, this is the right person for me or not. But in that moment, they're automatically exclusive. I also think culture is changing very rapidly. And there is this intense liberation and this kind of looking for our boundaries because more and more and more is allowed. And I think specifically of women, because obviously most of the people that I talk with about all these are my girlfriends, that we are in these moments when we're a little bit looking for ourselves. So one of my friends has multiple fuck buddies, for example. Since the relationships are not exclusive, nothing of it is considered as cheating. There are people who are in multiple partner relationships, all these things that I think I'm too old for. But I think it's interesting. There is a real sense of searching for new frontiers. And then there is this whole realm of the new ways of communicating. Is texting cheating? Is liking someone's photos on Instagram cheating? We'll talk about all of that. So my background is not one with much morals around cheating. And to be a little more clear, my parents had a very messy divorce and cheating might have been involved in that. My mother's friends were very much these 80s empowered women, and I saw a lot of cheating behind the scenes and incredible stories of deception. It was always something that was in the background, not because it specifically existed around me, but I think because there was never a culture of hiding things around me. So I think those things exist everywhere. It's just that some cultures are more prompt at talking about them, and I was in one of them. So I arrived in my dating life with this sense of ease around it. Having grown in that environment of strong women, I had this attitude like, nothing scares me. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. If I want to cheat on someone, I'll do it. But it's just that I never want to because I only am with people that I love. So I had this kind of very confident, overly confident, I think unrealistically confident. The truth is that I didn't know what love was. So I was just applying all the things I had seen in movies, in the press, in my family, and kind of making this mashup of cultures. And I hadn't lived through anything. So I started my love life being a happy cheater. I was very young and I thought, I'm too young to stop myself from exploring the world. Granted, my first love relationship was 7 years long, and then I started a life as a serial monogamist. I promise that I'll tell you about all of this in another podcast, but basically just know that right until a year before I met my husband, I had always been in a relationship, and all my relationships were really long. And basically, it was not rare that I would meet someone while I was already with someone else. So in my life, the first time I encountered cheating, I was the cheater. I think that when we do bad things, or what's labeled as bad things, we always try to find ways to explain it to ourselves. So I had a very clear set of values with that. And you tell me what you think about it. I think it's a little bit bullshit now, but at the time, it kind of worked for me. So I had told myself that I was this kind of real person, that I was honest with my emotions, that I wouldn't stop myself from doing anything, and that if I ever felt the need to cheat, or if I was going to cheat, then it meant that I didn't love the person I was with. And so usually I would cheat, or I would just break up with the person I was with and start something new with the person I was attracted to. I had this huge sense of empowerment from it. I feel awful telling you this thing, but I have to be honest. And I also, I'm a grown up now, I'm more mature. And of course, I have tenderness towards my teenage self, the same way I would have tenderness toward a teenager today. With my grand ideas about things and my justification of myself. So I would do that. And I did that for, I think, many years. In some ways, it was a beautiful thing because I always had an incredible sense of freedom in any relationship I was in. I never felt stuck because I knew that the second I wanted to leave, I would just follow my heart and do it. That if somebody else would come in and attract me and I felt like I wanted to build something with them, I would go and I wouldn't look back. And, you know, if you know me in my life, it is definitely something that I can do. It's just like, okay, turn the page and move on. And I think it's also something that always very much scared the people I was with. It always created an imbalance of power. So much to talk about, but the sense of deep freedom that I always brought into a relationship. I am someone who would tell my lovers and my boyfriends that my love is not unconditional. And I still think that today. But I think that there was a little bit of this, putting this grain of fear into them that I was free and that there was nothing they can do to keep me. There were a few moments when there were overlaps that could be called real cheating. And I remember feeling really bad about this. So there is something there in my values where I always felt that honesty is something important to share with someone. So the times when I cheated, I would confess right away. I don't think at that time that I had a real sense of the pain I could be inflicting on people. I had never personally felt pain in love. And that's why I think that experience is incredibly important. If you haven't been in your life confronted in one way, whether it's somebody just teaching you about it, or just experiencing the pain yourself, it's very, very difficult for some people to truly understand it. And as I've said many times, I am someone who's only been able to learn life through experiences, which is why I can say I'm certainly no angel. I've done bad things because sometimes I needed to feel the effects of those things to understand, nope, this is not the person I am. I'm never going to do that again. So I was more lenient about myself than I was with others. I would be the type of person that would say, oh, I would not tolerate being cheated on. If you ever cheat on me, I would say, I'll leave you right this second. Except one day, I was finally cheated on. I wasn't in my super young years anymore. I had learned a thing or two, and I was starting slowly to see myself for who I really was. Not such a good girlfriend, actually. I had just met this man, And I felt like this relationship could be really important in my life. We had started something together, a sort of life where I was almost living at his place, and there was a sense that this was going to be a big one, a big relationship, something that could potentially bring to marriage. And, you know, I've never really been the jealous type. I think, honestly, to be very, very honest, I think that probably I take so much space in people's lives that there is never this, or maybe it's the type of guys that I choose. I don't know, but I had never been with someone who made me jealous. I never had that. And in that relationship, at some point, I could feel that something was wrong. Any one of you who's ever been cheated on has felt it. The instinct. You're not sure what's going on, but you know something's going on. You can feel it. You can see there are little details you can't even explain that are talking to you. There are moments like that when we're like, what is going on? I don't understand. But we know. And then the whole idea is to see if we're being paranoid, if we're being real. And I remember this because I was in his apartment and he had done nothing different, but I could feel something. And I have never been someone who likes to go through people's stuff. It actually makes me feel a bit gross. I don't like it. I don't do it naturally. But this instinct was stronger than me. And I remember one day going crazy, turning around in the apartment and looking at his emails. And that's when I found that he had been cheating on me, and not just once. It was the very beginning of an incredibly promising relationship. It was at a time when I was finally settling into myself. I was becoming a better person. There was no more overlapping of relationships. I had learned to break up. I had learned a few things about respect. And I broke down, cried to the moon, went out, got drunk, kissed a stranger, did all the things that you do in these kind of situations. Then I cried again, and then I called my friends. And my friends told me that very known sentence, once a cheater, always a cheater. And it was interesting because in my heart, I didn't feel that. I was too young to be fully attuned to my intuition. I was still listening to others more than I was listening to myself. Some parts of me were like, no, you need to talk with him. You need to talk it out. You need to go deep into what happened and you need to give him a chance. And that's the first thing that I thought, but that's not what my friends were telling me. And it was interesting because number one, I didn't trust my own emotions. And number two, once you tell that to your friends, there is a sense of pride that comes into it, right? Where you don't want to be seen as weak for staying with somebody that has cheated on you. You have this emotion towards yourself because you're this strong woman. Remember, that was kind of my narrative and that's what I had grown up in. I'm this strong woman. Nobody's going to cheat on me. I'm going to leave the person the second they cheat on me because I am free and I don't need him, and all these narrative that I had in my head. Now, on top of that, I had my friends pushing me to leave him, to say, you can't stay with someone who doesn't respect you. He's not good enough for you. He's not worth it. It's early in the relationship. Leave him now because this is going to keep happening forever. I want to spend a second talking about that instinct because I know so many women who've had it. I don't know how it is for men, but I know women really feel it when something is happening. Now, I would say, if you have this type of feeling, he's cheating on me, I can feel it, something's different, I would say just keep yourself in check. For me, it was very easy to see that something was wrong because I rarely have these types of feelings. And there are two reasons why I'm not a naturally jealous person. Number one, because I feel like it's just too much energy. I don't want to spend my time wondering what my guy is doing. I'd rather be surprised one day, which happened to me in a later relationship, and have somebody tell me, you know, your guy is cheating on you, than spend 3 or 4 years or however energy just wondering. If there is no sense of trust, I'd rather not be with a person. But I also keep my emotions in check because I feel like I bring something so good to the relationship that I'm always like, what else is he going to find? And maybe that's too much confidence to have, but I'd rather live in the world of extra confidence than in the one when you're constantly worrying that you're not enough. Of course, the best way to go is to just be where I am now, which is to say, I think I'm a good partner. I think I bring great things to this relationship, but there might be some things I don't see, and it's possible that I'm not enough in some ways. It's always possible that somebody's cheating on me. There is also a part of me that really deeply respects somebody's private world. If there is something they don't want to tell me, I respect that. I know it can sound weird, but that's really truly how I feel. And I think that choosing people that we deeply believe and trust can foster this type of relationship. So if you really trust the person who you're with, you trust that they will come to talk to you if anything in the relationship is not going right. So all that to say, trust your instincts, but only if you're someone that's naturally pretty confident in yourself. I was really struggling with my ethics when it came to my relationship with the man who I had just discovered had cheated on me. Was it always going to be like that? All my friends were pushing me to leave him? But something inside of me said, no, this relationship is not over. This sense is something that I had developed very slowly. And I decided that for this moment, my dignity or my sense of pride were going to have to take a back seat for a second, because I was very in love. I thought there was hope, and that when I confronted him, he felt horrible, and I could see that there was truth in his eyes. And that was a great moment of me listening to myself, of letting go of my power and my pride and my strength, and of being vulnerable, and of saying that I could also be hurt and love at the same time. And I decided that I would allow the relationship to keep going. It wasn't easy, but it was not as difficult as I thought it would be. It was not as difficult as people had made it to be. It was actually a very deep and interesting time. Like many people who have survived cheating will tell you, there is a moment of truth, and if the cheater is really ready to change and to accept that what they've done is hurtful and wrong, there is so much hope to rebuild something that is more real and beautiful. And that's what happened with us. And of course, I told him, if you ever do that again, it will be the end of us, because that is what you say. And I also told him, and I don't know where these things come from, but I remember telling him, look, I'm going to need to be able to talk about it as much as I need to, okay? Just because I decided that we're going to keep going doesn't mean that we're just going to turn the page and that we're going to pretend it never happened. I'm going to need to basically empty my cup of fear and anger and frustration. And for that, I'm going to have to ask you as many questions and make as many jokes and sometimes also make you feel bad again for it until I feel like I can put this behind me. And that's what happened. I think I kept talking about it for about 2 to 3 months, asking questions, making him feel bad, having another fight, telling him, I'm remembering it right now. I'm feeling it. It feels bad. I hate you. And he was very patient, which of course you'd say, well, he'd better. But some people are not. It's actually a very difficult thing to go through with someone. And he was patient. And each time he would not only listen, but explain. And we would try to understand. And it was a good moment of healing and discovering each other. Until one day I decided, okay, it's time to let it go. I saw that I didn't want this to become something that I would hang over our relationship for the rest of times. I did want a fresh start. And so at some point, I decided, okay, I think we're good. I think this is not going to happen again. I think we fixed what was going wrong in our relationship. And I think that now it's time that I shut up. Because if you forgive, you have to forgive for real. And that's what I had done. And I'm very proud of myself to this day, not only because he never cheated on me again, and so I could prove this once a cheater, always a cheater wrong, and that was an important time for me, but also because I think I had done right by him, because I think he was demolished about what he had done, and he hadn't understood it himself. And I also think that it helped me grow from having relationships where we're so immature, where everything has to appear perfect, to something where we're more humans and we make mistakes and we can keep going together. It was a very formative moment, and one, I think, that made a relationship that was much better than any other I had ever had. So a big lesson for me, definitely. It doesn't mean that it applies to everyone and to everything and to every relationship, but in that case, I could feel that he was being honest. And I believed him, and I think that gave us more strength. I think that through the years, I was detaching slowly from the culture I had grown up in. So whether it was my French background, the strong 80s woman I had grown up with and my family mess and all these things, slowly I was building my senses of values. And they were very, very different than everything I had known before. I had realized after that story, after having my heart broken, that cheating is not as innocent. Cheating breaks hearts. And that was something that I would never want to do to a person that I love. And after that, there would never be any more quote-unquote overlaps or all these things I was doing where I was kind of playing with words and playing with values and boundaries. I remember one day, one of my very best friends, she had been in a relationship with her husband for more than 20 years. And it was going stale, and it was very difficult. And she was very attracted to this man who was working alongside her. And she's this woman with this very strong sense of values. But she was questioning herself. She was like, should I just do it? I need something new in my life. I need to feel alive. Should I do it? And it's interesting because I think it depends on the person, truly. Without bringing the sense of morals, I have seen friends who have had one night with a stranger on a vacation and it changed their lives and they came back to their couples and it was wonderful. So I think it really depends on how we are with our sense of morals or values and how clear we are about our secret garden. There is obviously the big question today of texting people online, this kind of interesting relationships that sometimes we develop with people that we know we'd never see, but it's fun. And you could see that there is a little bit of flirting, but you could pretend it's not happening if you wanted. So how should we feel about these things? Well, my point of view on that is that we should feel honest. We know when it's flirting. And it's okay to tell oneself, well, I am flirting with that guy online. I have very clear boundaries for myself about what I'll do and what I won't do. And when it comes to my partner, I just hope the same for them. I don't mind if they're having a look at someone, having a few texts with someone that they think are interesting. I trust them to know what it brings to the relationship and what it takes from the relationship, and to make their own judgment. That's how I feel. So it's that idea of giving our partners enough freedom so that they know that they want to come home. It stems from confidence, obviously. I know that I'm a good wife. But it also stems from the sense that giving trust and freedom is the best way to be loved. I told my friend, listen, I think that if you cheat on him, if he ever discovers it, it's going to break his heart. He's not the type of guy that can take it, and it's going to be very painful for him. And it's funny because now, a few years later, she always reminds me of that moment when I said that. And she said, when you told that to me, it turned me off of cheating for the rest of my life. She said, I never was able to look at another guy. She said, when I thought about the pain that I could inflict on my husband, that was it for me. But the truth is, I think it really depends on personalities. I knew that for her, she wouldn't have been able to cope with the weight that you carry once you cheat on someone. It's heavy. It's not easy. It's not what we make it today. Some people have the possibility of having very strong boundaries, a very clear secret garden. And they can, once in a while, have an adventure. And I'm the last person to put a moral judgment on that. We've talked about it at the beginning of this episode. It really depends who you are, where you come from, how are you in your relationship, what are you expecting from life, how much do you like sex? All these things are very personal. But what I think we need to check in with is, are we going to hurt the other person? Are we able to live with our secrets, or is it going to weigh painfully on ourselves? All these questions are incredibly personal. And that's why I don't think there is a line. It depends on our personalities. I also think there is something that I want to touch upon. And it's this idea of complete honesty with our partner. This is something that I feel, maybe that's my French culture, but I feel like sometimes it's something we can use to just bring more drama in the couple that's maybe not needed. So let's say we're attracted to someone else. Let's say we've had an adventure with someone else. Let's say we're just texting with someone, and it is something that we could keep in our secret garden. I think sometimes honesty can be used to just hurt the other person. And I think that being an adult and being mature in a relationship is also understanding the things that we don't need to say, because they wouldn't do anything but hurt the person. Being an adult sometimes is being able to carry our guilt without having to go confess it, to be absolved of it by the other person. Those things are very important to think about in a couple. If you can't carry your guilt, don't cheat. Don't do it. Don't text. If you can't keep a secret, just don't do it. The number one thing in a couple is that we have to preserve the other person's emotions. Care is so important in a couple. We are responsible for their hearts. When someone gives us their heart, when we get married, when we commit to someone, we basically tell the other person, here's my heart, be careful with it. I trust you, I'm giving it to you. I could keep it for myself, but I'm giving it to you because I love you, but please don't hurt me. And I do think that in any relationship, we are the guardian of the other person's heart. Whether we are annoyed at them, whether we're bored, whether the relationship is going through things, we have committed to taking care of their heart. And I think it's very important to always bring it back to that. Cheating, not cheating, telling, not telling, values and morals, all of that at the end of the day comes crashing against the other person's heart. We always have to understand that. And I think that when we're faithful to somebody's heart, whatever our sense of morals and values and the fantastic walls we can build around our secret garden, I think it's always important to remember that they protect your heart and you protect theirs. So think about all that if you were ever in one of these situations. Life is not linear. Morals are not linear. What is something you can count on is the depth of your emotions. And always get back to that when you don't know what to do, when you're lost. Should I forgive? Should I stay? Should I go? Should I follow that other person? Do I have enough reasons to do that? When you have all of these questions, I think, come back to the essentials. How will I protect my partner's heart? I think it will answer a lot and help a lot. At least that's how I do it. Until next week, sending you love. Le Rendez-Vous is brought to you by Doré. Doré's latest launch, La Micellaire, is a botanical micellar cleansing water that doesn't require rinsing. Minimize bathroom time and maximize outdoor time with our super simple routine. Use code PODCAST10 for 10% off your first order. Thank you for listening to Le Rendez-Vous. If you want to know more about me, find out about my newsletter and my community, find me on Instagram at Garance Doré or at my website at garance.world. And well, if you'd like to find out how to spell that crazy name, just check out the show notes. Until next time, sending you love.